Greetings, loyal horror enthusiasts. You have tuned into The Witching Hour with Mona Hex, proudly presented to you by the Movie Pit Podcast. Without any further ado, let's commence with the show. Please give a warm welcome to the one and only, the incomparable Mona Hex.
Welcome, intrepid souls, to The Witching Hour, where shadows speak and the forsaken spirits find their voice. Tonight I, your conduit into the realm of darkness, Mona Hex, invite you to bear witness to a tale drenched in the blood of a bygone era, an era where the blistering sun beat down upon the raw, calloused hands that toiled in the fields of Georgia, a state ensconced in the grip of Jim Crow's cruel legacy. Picture, if you will, a landscape adorned with sprawling plantations that whisper secrets of old, secrets shrouded in the mist of the Chattahoochee River, secrets buried in the red clay that has been the mute spectator to both life and unspeakable death. This is the canvas upon which we paint our grim narrative titled Blood on the Cotton. A story set against the backdrop of the 1960s, an age turbulent with the cries for civil rights and an echo chamber of ingrained hatred. Listeners, be forewarned, the episode ahead will traverse the boundaries of the profane and the sacred, the explicit and the implicit. Our lexicon will be unfiltered, as raw and unapologetic as the history it stems from. Words will be uttered that may sear the ears and sicken the spirit, not out of a desire to wound, but to forge an unflinching portrayal of our tale's protagonist, a man both product and perpetuator of the racist bile that has stained America's soul. Edward James stands as the patriarch, a man whose heart, if it beats at all, pumps not blood but bigotry. His family, tethered to him by bloodline and by law, know little of the demons that dance behind his eyes. Demons we will soon come to know far too intimately. As we embark on this evening's sojourn through the whispering cotton fields, I must stress the gravity of what is to come. The narrative we will unravel is not for the faint of heart or tender of constitution. You'll be subjected to the machinations of a mind twisted by hatred, to the ghosts of atrocity that haunt in broad daylight, to the bare flesh and brittle bones of truths long buried. This story, dear listeners, will leave you with the bitter aftertaste of reality, a stark reminder that the most gruesome monsters are often not those conjured up by the human imagination, but rather those forged in the crucible of human history. So steel your nerves and prepare to enter a chapter of the Witching Hour that is as much a part of American heritage as the flag that flies over the land of the free, drenched, as it is, in the blood of the not-so-brave. Close your eyes for a moment and allow the dissonance of time to meld the centuries together. The air is heavy with humidity and even heavier with spirits not yet laid to rest, spirits that are ever so eager to recount their sorrowful tales through our impending narrative bender. This is a world where the vine-choked ruins of pillars and porticos stand as silent sentinels to sins past, and where the living will soon find themselves inextricably intertwined with the vengeful dead. Lock your doors, dim your lights, and grip your courage tight, for we traverse together into the darkest corners of the human condition. Welcome once again to Blood on the Cotton. Welcome to the Witching Hour. The air hung heavy with Georgia's relentless humidity, clinging to the skin like a shroud, as the James family pulled up to their newly acquired abode, an antiquated mansion squatting on the vast expanse of a once prosperous cotton plantation. Time had gnawed at the grandeur of the home, leaving behind a skeleton that whispered secrets of a bygone era. The nefarious legacy of the place, burst from soil tilled by the hands of slaves, pervaded the atmosphere, a constant hum that one couldn't escape, even if they tried. The home, conceived in an age where lashings cracked like hell's own thunder and cries for mercy were swallowed up by fields of white fluff, watched silently as the family of five made their approach. Edward James, the patriarch, whose skin seemed as coarse as the segregation signs of yesteryears, took a swig of sweat-tinged satisfaction as the illusion of grandeur wrapped around his conscience. Little did he know that the land recognized its own, a man whose heart was tarred with the same bigotry as the old plantation master's. Jacqueline James, his wife, followed, her eyes a well of untold dreams. She'd imagined a different life away from city lights and whispered judgments, where her children could sow seeds of a future untainted by the past. But those whispers, Oh, those eerie whispers of centuries of agony laid a heavy hand on her shoulder, seeping through the cracks of her resolve like the first mists of a coming storm. Their children, the bright-eyed Lisbeth, anxious little thing of only 7 summers, Anthony, proud and towering at 13 despite his years, and Audrey, the first blossom of the family tree, barely 18, all gazed upon their new domain. A domain that echoed with the silent screams of those who had been shackled, beaten, and broken upon its fields. The whispers turned to murmurs, a language only the land could speak, telling tales unspeakable, memories unthinkable. The mansion itself loomed, paint peeling like skin from age scars, shutters banging in the listless breeze as if chattering the many tales it contained within its termite-gnawed entrails. As they stepped onto the porch, each creak of the wood floor was a stifled sob, each groan of the wind was the drawn-out breath of the oppressed drawing them, enveloping them, warning them of the sorrow-soaked grounds they now called home. Lisbeth, the innocence in her eyes not yet clouded by the shadows of the world, felt the prickling on her skin first, the electric tingle of 1,000 eyes upon her. She clutched her mother's skirts, seeking comfort from an unease she couldn't explain. "Mama, do you hear it?" she whispered. "Do you hear the sad song of the wind?" But her words were drowned out by the sound of moving boxes and the laughter of her siblings, unaware of the chorus of the wronged setting the stage for their unsought requiem. Yes, the walls bore the etchings of a sordid history, and the family, each with their own specters of expectation and dread, breathed life once more into these corridors of condemnation. Their footsteps stirred the dust of ages, mingling the aspirations of tomorrow with the encrypted ache of yesteryears. The James family, unwitting, had not just crossed a threshold of a new beginning, but had awakened the echoes of a furious, restless past, igniting the whispers of a history that refused to be buried. The oak trees, like silent sentinels, rustled softly in the wind, their leaves whispering secrets of the bygone era as the James family car pulled into the sprawling driveway of the plantation. Edward James, the father, stepped out with a sense of entitlement that seemed to claim the very land beneath his feet. His eyes, alight with visions of grandeur, held a glimmer that foretold new beginnings, echoing the reassurance in his voice. "This is it, the fresh start we've all been waiting for." Jacqueline James, his wife, her face a canvas of quiet resolve, followed suit, embracing the muggy Georgia heat. She held their lives within her steady hands, her gentle smile offering a blanket of comfort. With a determined breath that seemed to push away the weight of past struggles, she turned to her children. "Our dreams are planted here, in this soil, tender and ripe for the taking." Lisbeth, not more than 7, twirled on her toes, her laughter dancing like a pristine stream untainted by the world. Dreamy-eyed and wrapped in naivety, she chased fireflies, each one a sparkling hope she wanted to capture and keep. The property was her fairy tale kingdom, vast and full of adventure, her youthful dreams untethered by the cruel shackles of history. Anthony, 13, with the precipice of manhood before him, surveyed the estate with a mixture of awe and the echo of playground boasts. "We'll have it all here," he proclaimed, his dreams a fortress against the creeping shadows that eluded his youthful gaze. His pride, inflamed by the promise of new territory, knew nothing of the tainted blood that fertilized the grounds under his sneakers. Audrey, the eldest at 18, harbored her dreams quietly, like delicate pearls strung together by silent rebellion. Her eyes caressed the lengthy verandas and tall columns with the knowledge that this was her last summer before the world would demand her maturity. She harbored aspirations of leaving the cocoon of the South, her spirit yearning to break free and soar beyond the vast cotton fields. The plantation, veiled in the rich hues of sunset, stood grand and picturesque, its walls roaring silently with tales unspeakable. As the family unpacked their belongings, twilight hugged the landscape, casting long shadows that stretched with an eerie anticipation. Their laughter and chatter, filled with ambition and desire, were but the light of fireflies against the encroaching dusk of reality. Their life, a shiny coin in the air, would soon plummet down into the unforgiving clasp of an old curse. The past was never really past. The dreams they wove that evening, fragrant and bursting with color, would soon find themselves amid a garden where the most vibrant flowers were the first to wither. The plantation's monstrous appetite lay dormant, shrouded in the sweet facade of southern charm, patiently waiting to consume the very essence of their beaming aspirations. The James family settled into what they thought was an abandoned tableau, earnest in their belief that they could dictate the future on their terms. They did not know that they were merely characters in a pre-scripted play, where the land remembered every footstep and every drop of sweat that had fallen upon it. Their dreams of fresh beginnings were just an echo of countless others who had come before them, each echo a foreboding ripple on the still surface of a deep, dark pond. And so, as the crickets chorused and the stars blinked lazily above, the James family, unbeknownst to them, laid their heads down to sleep. Above them, the ancient trees stood watch, their leaves still rustling with the whispers of the past, as if to say, "This plantation has a long memory, and the dreams you build tonight are birthed from its darkest womb." The James family, unwitting passengers aboard a voyage through the unknown, found themselves enveloped by the deceptive calm that clung to the plantation like a shroud. The air sat heavy, a foreboding quiet that unnerved even the birds, silencing their songs as if in knowing anticipation. Anthony, his skin prickling with unease, was the first to sense it, a whisper in the wind that curled the edges of his consciousness, whispering secrets not meant for the living. He shook it off, attributing it to mere childish fears, unaware that the land watched, biding its time. Initially, the strange occurrences were almost laughable, a misplaced object, a faint rustling in an empty hall, a creak of weight on aged floorboards. Lisbeth would find her dolls positioned in a peculiar circle, their glassy eyes fixed on something unseen, their stitched smiles now seeming sinister. "It's just Audrey playing tricks," she'd mutter, unease dancing in her small voice. But deep down, she knew Audrey had outgrown such childish games. Audrey herself felt the brush of unfamiliar coldness when the southern sun ruled the skies, a fleeting chill that whispered of long-forgotten grievances. A shiver down her spine became a regular occurrence as fleeting shadows teased the corners of her vision, flitting out of sight when she turned to look. She blamed the drafty old house. Jacqueline, a sturdy pillar of maternal strength, had laughed off her children's concerns. But then, the once placid nights began to twist. Jacqueline woke to the sensation of an unseen presence pressing down upon her chest, a weight so crushingly tangible that she could scarce draw breath. Just the echo of a dream, she convinced herself. Edward, with his robust skepticism, dismissed his uneasiness as the settling of an old home, solid in the resolve to not be outdone by mere superstition. But there are things that lurk which care not for the doubts of men. The murmuring grew, a soft chorus rising from the soil that hungered for reckoning. Mirrors held on to their reflections a beat too long. The fireplaces, lit to ward off the evening chill, seemed to scream silently with faces that twisted in the flames, contorting in agony before dissolving into smoke and ash. The black and white television, the centerpiece of the parlor, spontaneously flickered to life, replacing joyous scenes with distorted images, screams of an angry mob crackling fires, and cries for mercy overlaid by a modern sitcom's laughter track, bending reality into a macabre blend that clawed at the family's sanity. Anthony saw it, his head cocked in confusion, eyes wide with a prelude to terror. It was one rainy night, a storm fierce enough to rattle even the bravest soul, that the plantation's voice rose above a whisper. Little Lisbeth, with a thunderclap as her orchestra, heard her name, soft and sibilant, slithering from the dark corners of her room. Innocent eyes searched through the blackness. Nothing, but the calling persisted, a lullaby crooned by a specter of bygone malice. "Lisbeth," it cooed, beckoning her to the concealed horrors of the plantation's past, to the secrets buried within the earth. Slowly, the fabric of their reality frayed and tore, revealing an abyss of the untold, the murmur a now deafening roar that would not be ignored. The family, nestled in the bosom of antiquated horror, began to fracture. Their dreams of a peaceful life amidst the cotton fields soured, tarnished by the voices of a history not yet ready to die. The James family was awake now, senses piqued to the cacophony of the damned that encased the plantation, their waking hours haunted by the dread of what nightfall would bring. They could not turn away. The whispering had become a shout from beyond the veil, an insidious crescendo that heralded a storm of specters eager to make themselves known. In the dead of night, as Edward James, the patriarch of the James family, lay sleeping in the oppressive silence of the old plantation house, the echoes of injustice began to stir. Edward, a virulent racist whose heart held no love for those who didn't mirror his skin tone, reeked of bigotry so foul it seemed to seep into the very fabric of the house. His wife Jacqueline, dispirited and worn from years of turning a blind eye, and his children Audrey, Anthony, and little Lisbeth, largely unaware of the depth of their father's hatred, all slumbered, oblivious to the awakening of the plantation's horrid past. Audrey, the eldest daughter, a flower blooming amid the rot of hatred, was the first to sense the gathering malice. Her sleep, once a gentle escape, was pierced by the apparitions that had begun to form in the corridors of the ancient home. Moaning like the wind through the skeletal branches of long-dead trees, the spirits of enslaved individuals rose from their unmarked graves, drawn by the festering hatred that Edward exuded, a beacon calling them back to the world of the living. The first ghost appeared before Audrey, a woman with eyes like hollow pits and a back crisscrossed with scars that wept eternal blood. "Why do you suffer?" she whispered, her voice a ragged lament that sent Audrey's mind reeling. But it wasn't her voice alone that answered the call of the past. The walls themselves began to whisper in unison. The gentle hiss of chains, the crack of a whip, the faint echo of forbidden African melody sung in the cover of night, the air thick with the agony of centuries of torment. Elsewhere, Anthony, only 13 yet already stained by his father's abhorrent doctrines, woke to find the stoic face of a man beside his bed. With eyes that radiated untold sorrow and a face scarred by time and brutality, the ghostly figure extended a hand as if reaching across the precipice of centuries. "Do you understand?" he asked, in a voice that seemed to carry the weight of shackled souls. The mansion room that once held an air of decayed grandeur now became the stage for a macabre reenactment. Figures shimmered into being, trapped in an eternal cycle of servitude. A woman hummed a lullaby to a baby that was never her own. A young boy's shadow dashed through the fields, seeking an escape that would forever remain out of reach. These echoes of lives twisted and broken by cruelty hung heavy, a tangible manifestation of the plantation's lament. But it was the youngest innocent Lisbeth who bore the cruelest visitation. A spectral child no older than she appeared in her room, its visage a grotesque mimicry of life. "Play with me," it pleaded in a voice that was the antithesis of a child's laughter, a voice that came dredged from the sorrowful pits of hell itself. The ghostly child's eyes, once bright, were now windows into a soul that had witnessed unspeakable atrocities. Even Jacqueline, cocooned in the false peace of denial, could not ignore the stifled screams that resonated through the shadows, the chill touch of the past that reached out to her across time, attempting to awaken her conscience, wresting from her the comfort of ignorance. Together, the family experienced visions seeped in the agonizing history of the land upon which their home was built. The spirits that moved through the corridors did more than instill fear. They cast a stark light on the reprehensible beliefs their patriarch held, banding the present to the past with chains of spectral iron. The James family found themselves entwined with the tortured spirits, with each encounter, the veneer of normalcy being stripped away, revealing the festering wound of history beneath their feet. In the darkest hours, as Edward himself came face to face with the ghastly reenactments, he could not help but hear the whispers accusing him. "This is your legacy, the product of your hate. The plantation, nourished by the blood of the oppressed, echoed with the injustice of its legacy. A grim reminder that hatred can summon horrors beyond the grave." The air within the creaking walls of the James's new dwelling was pregnant with anticipation, a silent witness to the unraveling facade of normalcy. At first glance, everything seemed fittingly bucolic on the surface. Sunlight filtered onto hardwood floors, scattering like golden flecks across a tableau of tranquility. But beneath this facade, something far more insidious was brooding. Edward, the stern patriarch and bigot, first noticed the aberrations in his peripheral vision. fleeting shadows that slithered between the rooms, disrupting the corners of his eyes with unsettling frequency. He'd whirl around, fists clenched, only to be met by the mockery of emptiness. Edward dismissed these niggling doubts with a shrug of his broad shoulders, convinced the overworked recesses of his mind played tricks on him. Ain't nothing but the damn structure settling, he'd mutter, his voice carrying the unmistakable tremble of uncertainty. Jacqueline, the mother wrought with domestic care, sensed a chilling shift in the ambience of their home. The kitchen, once a haven of gentle clinks and clatters, now seemed to echo with whispers not of this world, measured in their rhythm, yet incomprehensible in content. Sounds that should not have existed intertwined with the fragrant scent of dinner, making her shiver. Even the warmth of the stove could not dispel the coldness that nested in her soul. "The fuck is happening?" she'd whisper, every curse a silent prayer for normalcy. Young Lisbeth, innocent in her rosy-cheeked optimism, spoke of a friend, a silent, shade-like girl who danced at the edge of the cotton fields, there and not there, playing hide-and-seek with reality. "She doesn't like Daddy," Lisbeth confided one night, her voice low, laden with a knowledge far too suffocating for her tender age. "She says this house hates." The news gnawed at Jacqueline's insides, a mother's intuition flashing warning signs like neon in the fog of unknowing. Anthony, the quiet scholar, tender of age yet perceptive as the autumn winds, spent fewer hours with his tomes, and more with furrowed brows pressed against the frosty window panes. He was tracing ley lines of an unseen world that threaded through the plantation, his fingers scribing over condensation as he murmured disjointed fragments of Civil War ballads that he never learned. He saw them, a phalanx of lost souls marching through their living room, sabers and chains clanking an eerie chorus of discord, and Audrey, blooming at the cusp of womanhood, was snared deepest within the supernatural web. She conversed in hushed tones with the mirrors, caressing their cool surfaces, as if to coax secrets from the mouths of reflected figures that did not mimic her movements. Her gaze held a haunted depth, rimmed with the broom of sleepless nights, drawn out of bed by sobs that swelled like flesh wounds in the dead of night. She would wake to the heart-wrenching weeping of mothers in mourning, those bound to the past's cruel embrace. Together, they lived, breathed, and moved in a home where apparitions crept into reality with the tenacity of creeping vines. The veil that cloaks our world from the next had begun to tear, worn thin by the cries of those who once bled upon the earth beneath the house. And the family, unwitting guests to a haunted stage, could not unsee the unraveling strands. With every step and every stolen whisper, the fabric of their world frayed further, meshing the physical with the spectral, ushering in a deluge of terror. What had begun as a quaint venture, a fresh start on hallowed grounds, now contracted around them like a noose, woven from strands of a malevolence fed by the wellspring of human hatred. Etched into the walls, buried beneath the aging oak, lay stories not meant for the living yet impossible to silence. As the veil thinned, it was not just the dead that would find their voices. Their fury would seep into every resolution once held steadfast by the James family, dissolving dreams and warping futures until nothing remained but the stark, visceral reality of the plantation's vengeful past. Edward paced the length of the grand hallway, his knuckles white as he clutched an old family photo, the glass pane cracked from an earlier outburst of rage. He muttered to himself, a cacophony of curse words and racial slurs spilling from his mouth like venom. Each step he took thudded ominously, sounding an alarm for the spirits that lurked beneath the floorboards, reanimating the echoes of suffering endured by countless souls. Jacqueline, once the gentle matriarch, now sported dark circles under her eyes that mirrored the blackness invading her once cheery home. Her hands shook as she poured coffee, only to let the cup shatter on the tile floor with a scream. "Shit, not again," she whispered, and the spirits whispered back, the clinking of chains and distant sobs inching closer, enunciating her worst fears. In his room, Anthony huddled in the corner, his 13-year-old mind grappling with shadows that danced across the walls, mocking and taunting. "Fuck off, leave me alone," he'd shout, throwing punches at the air, but the only reply was a sinister chill that clung to his skin, laughter seeping through the walls, the insults and bigotry of his father twisting into grotesque parodies. Audrey, the oldest daughter at 18, stared at her reflection, the beauty she knew now marred by the ghastliness that gazed back. Her once radiant smile had wilted into a snarl. "You think you're better than us?" the reflection hissed, repeating her father's disdainful words. Desperate to escape the torment, she clawed at her own skin, as if she could strip away her affliction along with her flesh. Little Lisbeth, the youngest at 7, clutched her rag doll, its fabric soaked with her tears and smeared with the grime of the plantation's past. She often heard lullabies at night. Only these sang of punishment and retribution. "Daddy says bad words about people. Daddy's mean," she would confide in her doll. But her innocence was a fissure through which the spirit's fury seethed, twisting her nightmares into a grotesque tapestry of her father's sins. The family was under siege, not by armies of flesh and blood, but by an assault of psychological horror that sought to devour their sanity bite by excruciating bite. The whispers of the enslaved, now amplified into roars, besieged them, intertwining with the family's own fraught dynamics. The plantation, soaked in the blood and sweat of its tormented history, choked the life out of any joy the family might have once clung to. As if the burdens weren't heavy enough, they now shouldered the vengeful wrath of the past, each member unraveling at the seams, their personal despairs metastasizing with the relentless vehemence of the spirits that hunted them. Inside this once noble house, a cruel symphony played, a relentless crescendo with each family member and unwilling musician torn apart, not just by the wraiths of cruelty past, but by the echoes of their torment within. Edward James had spent a lifetime nurturing the seeds of hatred in his soul, watering them with the bitter nectar of racism. Within the decrepit halls of the haunted plantation, the ghosts of bigotry had found fertile ground in his heart. In the darkness they whispered, their voices blending with the chilling shriek of the wind, echoing the chorus of Edward's own poisonous thoughts. "What the fuck was that?" Edward's voice broke the silence, a mix of bravado and unease as he stared into the abyss of the plantation's hallway. The shadows seemed to writhe in response, a silent mockery of the trembling man who thought himself brave. His daughter Audrey, barely a woman yet, looked on, her eyes reflecting a well of terror, tinged with contempt for her father. "I warned you, Daddy," she spat through gritted teeth, the word "daddy" dripping with scorn. "This place, it's wrong, can't you feel it? It's like the walls are caked with shit, layer upon layer of pure, undiluted evil." Lisbeth, the youngest, clutched her mother Jacqueline's hand, her innocence a stark contrast to the malignant presence enveloping them. "Mama, why do they hate us?" Her little voice quivered, seeking refuge in a mother's comfort from the sensation of invisible eyes upon them. Beside them, Anthony, the boy on the cusp of manhood, narrowed his eyes at the air, as if he could spot the specters that danced just out of sight. "I can hear them," he muttered, "those niggers seeking revenge, waiting to slit our throats while we sleep." Jacqueline, her face a canvas of fear and resignation, pulled her children close. "What have we brought upon ourselves?" she whispered. The very air tasted of decay, of lives unjustly taken, their cries for justice transformed into an unending howl against her husband's lineage. The plantation seemed to pulse with life, a grotesque heartbeat throbbing beneath the floorboards. The ghosts swirled around them, unseen yet felt, drawing from Edward's hatred like moths to a flame. The raw scent of terror mixed with the rank stench of prejudice, and the result was a thick smog of psychological torment that settled in the corners of each room, seeping through the cracks in the family's facade. "Stop this whining. We are the rightful owners. This is our goddamn land now." Edward's tirade was a feeble attempt to assert dominance, to cast away the growing dread. But in the dim light, even the pictures on the walls seemed to sneer at his defiance. The portraits of long-gone plantation owners bore an eerie resemblance to Edward, their smug, arrogant gazes a reminder of the lineage of atrocity. Each creak, each whisper, each shadow in the night was another stitch in the tapestry of fear that blanketed the James family. The specters exploited their unease, pulling the threads of racism from Edward's soul and weaving them into the very atmosphere. The past and present collided in a violent cacophony, forcing the family to confront the indefensible transgressions that had tainted their bloodline. As dawn approached, the house groaned with the weight of its history, the ghosts of bigotry casting a pall over the plantation, damning the James family to relive the hatred that had been sown in the fertile ground of America's most shameful chapter. The air was thick with trepidation as the old plantation, shrouded in the mists of time, became alive with malevolent whispers. This land, marred by the atrocities of its past, was now set to replay its gruesome legacy, not as echoes but as tangible horrors that stalked and unfolded before the James family's very eyes. The stage was set, with the ancient oaks as unwilling spectators and the decrepit structures as props in this macabre performance. It began subtly, a tool clattering where it shouldn't, a door creaking open unbidden, footsteps on the vacant floor above. These trivial haunts soon crescendoed into a symphony of terror. Lisbeth stood one evening by the grand fireplace, her innocent eyes catching a glimpse of a specter, donned in tattered rags, etching words of anguish upon the crumbling hearth. "Vengeance," it scribed, "a promise from beyond the grave." As daylight waned and dusk turned the sky to a bruising purple, the children played hesitantly in the yard. Their laughter stopped short when they'd see figures hanging motionless from the trees, these macabre effigies of the plantation's dark history swinging gently in the non-existent wind. Audrey, wide-eyed in terror, would swear she heard the suffocating gasps of these phantoms, their presence a gruesome reminder of the lynchings that once painted this cursed land with sorrow and pain. Night after night, the family lay in beds gripped by fear as the specters made the walls their theater. Jacqueline, paralyzed, felt her sheets tighten around her limbs, the linen constricting like a python, while unseen whispers flooded her ears with threats. The shadows danced at the spectacle, contorting into shapes of those enslaved, rising from the wooden floors, reaching with ethereal chains, as though seeking justice from their oppressors in this life or the next. Edward, patriarch and bigot, scoffed at the apparitions, defiant in his ignorance. Yet even his flinty heart quivered when he found himself face to face with his most harrowing performance. At supper, the visage of a black man, skin marred by the violent signature of whips and shackles, sat at his table. "You dine on blood-soaked cotton," the spirit intoned, the voice dripping with both pain and accusation, food rotting to maggots before Edward's eyes. The man's gruesome visage a grotesque mirror reflecting Edward's inherited venom back upon him. The plantation reveled in its sinister display, the torment of the James family, but a reenactment of sins so deeply ingrained in the soil. Anthony would wake to find himself in mock auctions, invisible hands prodding him, a voice barking prices, while Lisbeth's cries were smothered by the nursery rhymes of ghostly children, their little hands ice cold as they pulled her into their play of eternal servitude. In the attic, Audrey found aged dolls positioned in a twisted reenactment of her family's dynamic, their glassy eyes judging as she moved one, a representation of herself, and it crumbled to ash. The message was clear. They were all just characters in this tragic pageant directed by the past, each tormenting manifestation a scene played out on history's vilest stage. Underneath the southern moon perched atop the Georgia pines, the plantation's macabre play reached its crescendo, with the Jameses unknowingly cast as its stars. Their screams, despair, and palpable dread were the currency that the cursed grounds feasted upon. This theater of the damned left no curtain call, no applause, only the chilling reverberation of pain, and the whimper of history's unwilling players caught in the relentless grip of their forebears' legacy. Darkness had fallen over the forsaken stretch of Georgia, where the James family, led by the bigot patriarch Edward, frantically sought to escape the relentless embrace of the malignant spirits that had infiltrated their lives. The old plantation, bathed in the blood of past sins, had become a sanctuary for malevolent forces that Edward's own racist venom seemed to have awakened. The night was lively with the croaking of frogs and the whisper of wind through the weeping willows. Yet beneath this facade of rural tranquility, an insidious terror prowled, hungry for retribution. The moon, an eerie spectator, illuminated the fear etched on the faces of Jacqueline, Lisbeth, Anthony, and Audrey as they followed Edward, each footfall a desperate plea for salvation. Edward, his face a mask of fright, yelled, "Move, goddammit, move!" His voice was harsh, cracking under the mounting dread. Yet for all their speed, the shadows seemed to cling to them like tar. The spectral whispers ricocheted in the thick air, with Edward's own echoed slurs rebounding upon him, a cacophony of his vile beliefs meeting the suffering they begot. "We gotta get the fuck out of here, Jackie," he shouted, but the darkness swallowed his words. Jacqueline, her maternal instinct a fierce flame within, clutched her children close. "Hold on to me, babies," she cried, terrified tears melding with the sweat on her brow. Lisbeth's tiny hand gripped her mother's with an intensity that belied her 7 years, her innocence besieged by the horrors that their existence on the cursed land had unveiled. Anthony, barely a teenager yet wearing the premature weight of manhood, pushed through the underbrush, a silent prayer escaping his lips as he tried to focus on the flickering lights of a distant highway, a beacon of false hope in the engulfing dread. "We're close," he whispered, more to himself than to the trembling figures around him. Audrey, normally so full of life and defiance, stumbled as an unseen force yanked her back, her scream piercing the night, a cold hand, invisible yet undeniably real, clamped around her throat. "Help, Daddy!" Her father turned, a strangled curse erupting from his lips. "Fucking let her go, you nigger spirits!" But Edward's pleas were drowned in the guttural laughter that seemed to rise from the very earth, the centuries of anguish now finding its voice through the darkness. The old cotton fields they had hoped to leave behind stretched endlessly, a sea of bone-white stalks reaching for them like the hands of the tormented souls who once tended them. The air was thick with the stench of decay and the metallic tang of blood, remnants of an atrocity that the land could not forget. The spirits, now vengeful echoes of the suffering inflicted here, grasped at the family with incorporeal yet potent malice. The earth itself conspired against their flight, roots twisted into serpentine anchors snagging at their ankles. Lisbeth wailed as she tripped, the uneven ground hungry for her fall. Jacqueline, her resolve fracturing but not yet broken, heaved her up, her own gown tearing against the briars that seemed to mock their plight with their prickling laughter. The James family plunged through the abyss of night, their flight a macabre ballet choreographed by the plantation's sordid past. With each step away from the malevolent manor, hope dwindled, smothered by the oppressive blanket of history's malevolence. As the family crested a small rise, the horizon ahead promised deliverance, however brief. The faint lights of salvation glimmered for a moment, but it was merely a cruel mirage. The sadistic phantoms squeezed tighter, their presences suffocating in sinister whispers, insinuating that there would be no liberation from the torment that Edward's hatred had called forth. Their attempted escape was proving futile, the James family but players in a grim pantomime directed by the unforgivable sins of their lineage. In rural Georgia, where the ghosts of the past are as real as the blood-soaked soil, the James family found themselves locked in a relentless pursuit, their every move shadowed by the haunting forces that clung to the plantation with a vicious tenacity. It was as if the air itself became thick with malevolence every direction they turned, an obstacle sprang forth, a torturous maze with no way out. Edward James, the hardened patriarch whose bigotry had festered for years, now trembled with a terror he had never known. The supernatural force that pursued his family was not just a reckoning for the souls that had suffered under the yoke of hatred. It was a force that sought to engulf them whole. Jacqueline, the mother who once embraced dreams of a life far removed from this cursed land, clawed fiercely at the reality crumbling around her. Every shadow in the house seemed to lurch towards her children. Every whisper of the wind sounded like the twisted words of condemnation. One evening, as the sun lay dying beyond the horizon, Anthony, the 13-year-old son, sprinted through the fields, a once playful playground, now a fiendish labyrinth where stalks of cotton seemed to reach out and snatch at his feet. The apparitions of the once enslaved were not mere spectators to his plight. They wove in and out of the cotton, their translucent fingers grasping, their hollow eyes fixated on the boy. His breath came out in ragged gasps, and he could feel the presence closing in, a coldness seeping through his bones. Audrey, who in the bloom of her 18th year should have been dreaming of suitors and dances, instead navigated the darkness with a quivering candle, the once familiar halls of their home now corridors of desolation. Her candle extinguished with a sudden chill, and she heard the rustle, the spectral slave masters coming for what they believed to be theirs. She screamed, but her fear was swallowed by the suffocating void that now enveloped the plantation. Little Lisbeth, innocent and untainted, clung to her rag doll as the phantasm circled. The nights would come alive with the haunting lullabies of the past, melodies woven from sorrow and pain, and she would hide under her covers, quivering as the specter of a bygone era whispered her name. The relentless pursuits peaked each night when the bitterest cold of human hearts seemed to claw back into the present. For in those frantic hours, Edward's past cruelties, a slap here, a spiteful word there, each a small thread in the tapestry of bigotry, were laid bare for his family to witness. The ghosts of the wronged moved with a purpose, their every step resonating through the halls, their every cry a reminder of the sins that now hunted the James family. The mansion that once stood as a symbol of prosperity now echoed with the agony that had seeped into the foundation, the wails of the oppressed ricocheting off the walls, the relentless drumming of justice that would not be denied. As the family sought refuge in the heart of the house, they found no sanctuary, only the furious thrumming of spectral heartbeats and the choking grip of vengeful spirits that refused to be forgotten. Each glimpse of freedom, every gasp for hope, was snatched away in a cruel display of the plantation's ultimate power, the power to remind them that here, on this hallowed and haunted ground, bigotry's ghosts would not be outrun. The dust of the forsaken road clung to their clothes as the James family scrambled through the darkness, the gnarled trees of the Georgia plantation clawing at their skin. It seemed, for the faintest of moments, that they had outpaced the shadowy specters of their cursed abode. They shared hurried, shallow breaths, gasps laden with hope, believing they had found a crack in the iron-fisted grip of the supernatural. "Keep moving. We're almost clear of this hell," Edward barked, his voice dripping with desperation. Jacqueline, clutching the hands of Lisbeth and Anthony, stumbled over the uneven terrain, a symphony of fear orchestrated with each crunch beneath their feet. "Just a little further, Mama. I see the road up ahead." Anthony's young voice pierced the night, a beacon of optimism in their flight from terror. Audrey, her steps faltering, dared a glance backward, half expecting the gnashing maw of the otherworldly to be snapping at their heels. They reached the clearing, the moonlight casting an eerie glow over their haggard faces. For a fleeting second, the world was silent save for the panting of their breath and the frantic beats of their hearts. It seemed the ruthless pursuit had ceased. The very air around them paused in anticipation, but the plantation was not done with them. With vicious suddenness, the wind rose in anger, a chilling wail that masked the whispers of the damned. Out of the darkness slithered tendrils of mist, thick and determined, wrapping around their ankles like cold, sinewy fingers. The children screamed, clawing at the ethereal bonds as their parents fought to free them. "What the fuck is this shit?" Edward raged, his previous prejudices dwarfed by the fear clawing at his core. "Let go of my family." The illusion of their escape shattered with the howl of the wind, the mocking laughter of the once enslaved, entwining with the moans of the mist. The plantation's curse, hungry and unyielding, crept up their limbs, dragging them back towards the decrepit heart of their nightmare. "Mama," Lisbeth wailed, her small voice cut through the heavy air, a child's plea against the cruelty of specters past. "We can't let it take us," Jacqueline cried, her eyes wild with terror and fury. Her hands gripped her children with an intensity born of maternal instinct, yet the spectral forces were unforgiving. "We won't, I won't let it, not to my family, not to my blood." Edward's defiance was ablaze in the ink of night, but the darkness was a ravenous void. Even his poisonous hate was ineffectual against the power that mocked them all. Audrey's voice, unsteady but determined, rose above the chaos. "We have to keep fighting. It feeds on fear. Don't let it consume you." For a desperate heartbeat, they rallied against their unseen aggressor, battling against the supernatural chains that sought to drag them back to the abyss of the plantation's embrace. It was a dance with devils, a struggle against the suffocating grip of history's deepest sins, But the James family had walked into a mouth that did not wish to release its meal. The illusion of escape was a cruel jest, as the breath of the haunted land reached out, digging its spectral claws deep into flesh and spirit. The night was thick with their cries, a bitter anthem for souls ensnared by the relentless pursuit of vengeance from the beyond. The malevolent echoes of the plantation sang its sinister siren song, a promise that no distance would grant them sanctuary. Their fate was sealed, their path preordained, the blood-soaked legacy of the house their patriarch had so arrogantly claimed as his dominion. The family huddled close, their bodies intertwined, as the unnatural fog enveloped them, and the world faded to black. Their last thoughts were not of the escape they craved, but of the merciless grasp of the haunted grounds, a maw from which there was no deliverance. The plantation reeked of death and decay, and the James family could no longer ignore the fetid scent that slithered into their nostrils. It started as a mere inconvenience, but as dusk fell, it took on a life of its own. The underbelly of racism, the vile hatred that Edward had nourished within his heart, now prowled the halls of the old house eager for retribution. It began with poor Audrey, long locks of golden hair turned to writhing snakes as she screamed, the sound cut short by the closing of invisible jaws around her neck. She was found dangling from the once sturdy oak, her eyes frozen open in perpetual horror, blood trickling down the rough bark like a grotesque mockery of sap. Her death was a terrifying prelude, a harbinger of the gruesome fates awaiting the rest of them. The fields whispered to Anthony next, beckoning him with the false promise of an adventurous nighttime jaunt. With each step, the whispers grew into shrieks, until a cacophony of anger surrounded him, bunching his muscles tight with fear. Shadowy figures erupted from the cotton, their hands bound by spectral chains, their faces eternally twisted in agony. They seized him, dragging him down into the earth. The ground swallowed him whole as if he was nothing more than seed to sow. His young voice snuffed out like a candle flame in the wind. Lisbeth was in her room, clutching her rag doll, praying for a salvation that would never come. The walls bled and the lights flickered, casting grotesque shadows that danced with malevolent glee. The window shattered inwards, showering the room with glass as ethereal hands gripped the child, tearing her apart with a fury born from centuries of pain inflicted by those who shared her father's beliefs. Her screams joined the symphony of suffering that the house had come to embody. Jacqueline fought with every fiber of her being. As husband and wife, she had borne the brunt of Edward's wrath in life. She'd be damned if she let the terrors of this house claim her without a fight. But it was futile. The paintings on the wall, once scenes of pastoral peace, transformed before her eyes into chaotic vignettes of violence. Suddenly, she was in two places at once, her upper body crawling towards the door, her legs unmoving, a gruesome smile cutting across the portrait of the once happy family encased in its gilded frame. And then there was Edward, the father, the husband, the bigot, he who outlasted them all, fueled by the hate that coursed through his veins. The house toyed with him, leading him through a labyrinth of memories, each more distorted than the last. He encountered the warped visages of his wife and children, each jeering and accusing, until he was utterly alone amid the torment. In the deepest bowels of the house, where the screams of the past blended with the cries of the present, Edward met his end. His body was ravaged by phantom tools, the same implements of torture his ancestors had wielded with cold precision. Stripped, beaten, and broken, he finally understood the true extent of the pain he had perpetuated. Only when he was a husk of a man, his bigoted soul ripped from his chest, did the house cease its macabre play. The James family's annihilation was complete. Their every atrocity repaid in kind by the malevolent forces they had so ignorantly awakened. The plantation, a silent witness to the centuries of suffering, had judged and executed a legacy of hatred with brutal precision. In the end, the once noble house stood empty, save for the dark energies that filled it, consumed by shadows and echoing with the suffering of those whose lives had been unjustly taken. The once majestic plantation, with its sprawling fields and grandiose manor, now stood as an unforgiving sentinel to the horrors about to unfold. The air was thick with a palpable sense of dread. The ground beneath seemed to harden against the soles of their feet, refusing sanctuary to the James family, the ever-hostile earth bearing the weight of years soaked in blood and tears. Edward James, the hardened, toxic figurehead of this ill-fated clan, had often spouted his vile beliefs, the word nigger rolling off his tongue with a sickening ease. It seemed as though the very spirits of those who suffered were roused by his hateful tirades echoing through their restless domain. The plantation had become an entity in its own right, pulsing with the spectral heartbeat of centuries-old suffering, a force that yearned for retribution against those who dared to perpetuate its legacy of pain. The trees whispered tales of anguish, their branches clawing at the sky as if trying to rip through the fabric of heaven to expose the hell that lay below. The plantation house groaned under the weight of its own malevolence, its windows glaring like dead unseeing eyes, spectating with quiet malice as the horrors began to unfold within its walls. The cacophony of screams now belonged not only to the past, but intertwined with the present. Jacqueline James felt her very soul shudder as a malevolent force clutched at her heart, dragging her towards a gruesome fate. She found herself immobilized, watching with terror as an invisible blade carved through her midsection, splitting her life into before and after, where after was nothingness, her screams joining the haunting chorus of the plantation's eternal grieving. And thus, the plantation's blood-stained past had once again asserted itself, proving unforgiving to those dwelling within its cursed embrace. The house and field stood silent, the James family's fate forever weaved into the haunted tapestry of the land. The pain, the terror, the echoes of suffering reverberated, an eternal testament to the vengeful memory of this dark corner of Georgia. The land had not forgotten, nor had it forgiven. It seized the opportunity to echo its dark history, ensuring that the legacy of racism and the horrors birthed from such hatred would not soon fade away. The plantation endures, a malevolent reminder of the past, unforgiving and uncompromising. The darkness of the tale, blood on the cotton, blankets us now in a cold, somber silence, as heavy as the history it so mercilessly dredged up from the murky depths of America's past. What we've unearthed together is no fictional specter, but rather a stark reminder of the insidious nature of racism, a force that, like the malevolent spirits within this accursed plantation, continues to haunt us with its presence. We have walked hand in hand through the James family's harrowing nightmare, where the very soil seemed electrified by the horrific suffering of those long dead, yet forever bound to the land by the chains of bigotry and hate. Each grotesque demise we witnessed was not merely for shock, but rather a macabre echo of centuries-old violence, reverberating through the ages, a reminder that the past never truly lies dormant when it comes to the unresolved and unforgiven acts of racial terror. Edward James, the patriarch, whose own existence was a twisted testament to hatred, has met a fate as inevitable as the setting sun. Each tragic loss his family suffered, from Audrey's brutal and bloody end to Jacqueline's gut-wrenching bifurcation, serves to underscore the true horror of this tale. Not the vengeful dead, but rather the living who perpetuate and stoke the embers of hatred, igniting them anew for generations to come. My reflection on this story is one of sorrow and a fervent plea for remembrance. We cannot allow the atrocities of the past to recur, nor can we ignore their lingering apparitions in our everyday lives. This isn't just an elegy for the lost souls of the plantation. It's a reflection in the mirror of our current world, pleading with us to recognize the remnants of this pernicious ideology that still seek to divide and destroy. As the haunting melody weaves its way back into your awareness, let it serve not only as the poignant conclusion to our time together, but as a call to open our eyes to the echoes of suffering that persist. Let it remind us that in the witching hour the monsters are real, their faces reflected in the annals of our own shared histories. We look to the past not to linger in its shadow, but to learn and cast a light that will guide us toward a brighter, more just future. May we carry forth the lessons of blood on the cotton and dare to confront the specters of hatred that still walk among us. Only then can we hope to ensure that such darkness will never rise again. As the shadow of silence falls upon us with the closing of today's macabre tableau, we linger in the wake of blood on the cotton. This tale, woven from threads of history's darkest fabric, commands a moment of reflection, stirring within us the need to examine the seeds of bigotry that may lie dormant in the soil of our own hearts. I invite you to carry these echoes of suffering into the corners of your mind, to contemplate the haunting parallels of past prejudices that still whisper through our present. The James family's grim fate, bound by the malevolent ties of hatred and racism, implores us to forge a future where such malevolence finds no refuge. Engage with us, your fellow listeners, your communities. Confront the specters of discrimination and speak on the necessity of empathy and unity. Share your insights and your resolve using #TheWitchingHour or #MonaHex. Make your voice resonate through the digital corridors of Twitter and Instagram at MoviePitPod, or email us at MoviePitPodcast@gmail.com. In this shared space of horror and humanity, may we kindle the lantern of compassion, casting light into the oppressive shadows of ignorance. Your contemplations, your dialogues, they are the silver bullets that can repel the ghosts of bigotry from our midst. Until the next full moon, remain haunted yet hopeful. And so, we cast off the shackles of reality once more, leaving behind the palpable terror of blood on the cotton. But do not be fooled into thinking the journey has reached its end. No, my dear friends, this is but a mere fractal of the macabre cosmos we navigate under the cloak of night. As the ghostly symphony of the James family's despair fades into the cold silence, the cryptic echoes beckon us forward to another chapter, one veiled in shadows yet to be pierced by the light of our curious gaze. The Witching Hour has no shortage of nightmares to share, and with every tick of the clock, a new horror germinates, eager to blossom in the fertile soil of our darkest imaginations. Next time we convene under the watchful gaze of the waxing moon, brace yourselves for tales that peel back the facade of the mundane, revealing a tapestry woven with threads of the paranormal, threads that bind the fabric of our existence with the unknown. Whispers of haunted artifacts, cursed bloodlines, and forbidden rituals that dance on the edge of reality await. The stage is set for encounters that will chill your spine and grip your heart with icy fingers, an anthology of dread, meticulously crafted for those who possess the courage to face the abyss. So maintain your vigil, for the witching hour draws near once more, and remember, it's in that delicate space between dusk and dawn where we find the true essence of terror. Until our paths collide again in the gloom, let the anticipation of horrors yet to be told simmer within your tormented souls. Farewell, boils and ghouls, until the witching hour strikes again.